sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all right.
So, hey, everybody. Welcome to Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show. This is Eric Mann, the host of Voices from the Frontlines. And today is going to be an emergency fund drive for KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web at kpfk.org. Now, I know as listeners, we are all in a dilemma, which is we don't want as many fund drives, but we want KPFK. So that's part of the yin and the yang. So I try to take the fund drives as part of KPFK, not an interruption. It's the nature of our life. You know, you got a job you may not like, but you don't, you want to get the money. You may be in relationships you overall like, but it's got things that have got problems with it. So I've been thinking about what could we do today to make the fund drive fun, entertaining, and hopefully get you to give us $100, which is the premium we're looking for. So I'm choosing to offer three of my books, actually four, as a premium for $100. The first book is called Dispatches from Durban, First-Hand Commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism and Post-September 11th Movement Strategies. I wrote that in 2001, 2002. In fact, just when we came back from the World Conference Against Racism in 2001, the World Trade Center events happened. Of course, the war on terror, which had existed for hundreds of years, just gave itself a new name. And then I spent a year writing this book called Dispatches from Durban about the World Conference Against Racism, which is such an important event, and it truly got eclipsed because literally the day we got back was September 11th. So that's why the book is called First-Hand Commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism and Post-September 11th Movement Strategies, and I'll be reading from that. Then my next book is called Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. And here's a nice quote about it. It says, "Buy this book and study it well. Eric Mann was my first teacher in the Black Freedom Movement. He taught me door-to-door canvassing and basic organizing, and he introduced me to SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Eric is still teaching and organizing a new generation and setting the pace as we build up our strength for the Battle of New Orleans." That's from Kamosi Woodard, author of A Nation Within a Nation, Amiri Baraka, and Black Power Politics. I'll be reading you from that book. And then third, I'll be reading you from my book, Playbook for Progressive, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer by Eric Mann. On the cover it says, An Art of War for Organizers Around the World. Buy 10 copies and pass them on. So I'm going to change that to give $100 to KPFK, and I'll give you a free copy. So 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735, if you'd like four of my books, because I'm also, as they say, if you're not satisfied, I'm going to throw in the seven components of transformative organizing theory that I wrote, which is really a preface to Playbook for Progressives. So we need your money. We need your participation. For $100, you're going to get the seven components of transformative organizing theory. You're going to get Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction, New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. You're going to get Dispatches from Durban, First-Hand Commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism and Post-September 11th Movement Strategies. And you're going to get Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer. And yes, I'll be happy to sign every one of them. And someday, this $25 book with my signature will be worth $26, sisters and brothers. So you better be happy that I signed it. So let me do a little bit of reading, okay? 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. If you can't give $100, give less. But if you want all four books, I would love to give you all four books for $100, which is a pretty good deal. So in my book, I'm talking about the question of the closer. Closer, in a business sense, is the person who closes the deal. But in organizing, I've chosen when or why I want to use a word that has a double entendre for business. But I think the closer is an important relationship in the movement. The closer is successful at getting a new contact to join the organization to become an active member. The closer is strong at follow-up calls and home visits after the initial contact has been made. Often the key is to get the person to express what's going on in her mind and to effectively address the underlying concerns that stand in the way of signing up. See, that's an important point, that a lot of times we talk to people, are not honest with us. They indicate their interest in our organization, but they have concerns, but they're afraid to raise those concerns. And if you can't build the trust with people where they're going to tell you what's really on their mind, they're going to do what I say. They're going to vote with their feet. They're going to say yes, but they really mean no. So back to the book. It says, in 1991, the Strategy Center was opening up a new organizing project, the Watchdog in Wilmington, California, in the heart of the harbor area, ringed by oil refineries, Texaco, Arco, Ultramarshall. The air was so heavy it felt like you could touch it with a toxic soup of chemicals that forced the local schools to have to close for smog days. Organizers Kikanza Ramsey, Lisa Duran, and Chris Mathis knocked on the doors of 500 community residents to assess who wanted to take on the oil companies and demand dramatic reductions in their toxic emissions. 818-985-5735, please give some money. They found a lot of people with health problems, rashes, nausea, headaches, asthma, emphysema, leukemia, cancer, who were directly impacted by refinery emissions, but many were wary of taking on the corporate giants. Representing the Watchdog, I spoke at the South Coast Air Quality Management District, AQMD. I called on the agency to take a more aggressive role in regulating the oil companies. After I testified, I was approached by a Latino man I will call Eduardo Fuentes. He said he shared my goals and he was the president of Parents Against Pollution in, of all places, Wilmington, California, which is exactly where I was hoping, but we were in the middle of Diamond Bar. I asked him how many parents were in the group and he said, one, me. Parents Against Pollution, he was the only parent. I admire that a person from a working-class Latino background would invent a new organization, travel to the unfriendly climes of a regional regulatory agency, and hold his own among powerful pro-corporate forces. As a closer, my objective was to make the case that he and Parents Against Pollution would be strengthened by joining the Watchdog. We'd already recruited a dozen members, had a full-time staff of three, and a long track record in taking on large corporations. My concern was that he might prefer to be in an organization of one, self-motivated but also self-absorbed. We next met at his home in Wilmington. I showed him my book, LA's Lethal Air, a high-design 64-page book with sharp graphics, full-color charts, and graphs measuring chemical assaults and compelling pictures of working people from throughout Los Angeles. But no matter how many efforts that I made to address his concerns, he seemed unconvinced. We were building an organization to fight Texaco, and he wanted to keep arguing about the price of the book. Why was the book $15? What was really on his mind? Finally, Eduardo asked, does the Watchdog picket oil refineries or organize sit-ins or boycotts? I said yes. He then explained that he'd grown up in Guatemala, and he'd seen the government, with the support of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, kidnap and kill indigenous peoples, union leaders, and revolutionaries. He talked about the growing anti-immigrant movements in California and wondered if our plan to organize an immigrant-based movement would generate government repression. He said he agreed with our program, but he feared the consequences of being identified with it. I totally understand his concerns. We were well known for being tactically astute. We began by building a strong community base and did not confront corporate giants until we had strong community support and many allies and a tactical plan that could win. We were aware that many of our present and future members would be undocumented and would be taking tactical precautions, such as making sure that any nonviolent civil disobedience, if needed, would only be carried out by people whose immigrant status was in order. But we could not guarantee there would be no retaliation. After a long pause, a pensive Eduardo said, I've expressed my fears, but I want to join. Eduardo ended up playing a very important role in the early stages of the Watchdog, and he gave a lot of credibility in the community that helped the group gain traction and more members. What I learned once again from that experience is that a good closer has to be a good listener. By taking the time to really build trust with Eduardo, I've been able to convince him to express his true concerns. I was able to address them and close the deal in a principled, above-board manner. That's from my book, Playbook for Progressive, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer. by Eric Mann, An Art of War for Organizers Around the World. Buy 10 copies and pass them on. Now, the main reason we're on today, 818-985-5735, is to raise money for KPFK, and next week we're going to go back to regular programming. But if you'd like a copy of my book, Playbook for Progressives, and if you'd like to help KPFK, please pledge $50, $100. The $100 would be great at 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. Now, I'm going to read you some more from my next book, Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. Again, let's talk about money. I've come here today with four books. I want to give them all away. For me, I'm giving you my books. For you, you're giving $100 to KPFK. Both of them are trying to help the movement. Both of them, in a certain way, are going towards KPFK. I'm giving KPFK. I'm giving my books. You're giving your money. You're going to get my books. I'm not going to get your money. KPFK is going to get your money. But we both want that to happen. So 818-985-5735, 818-985. I'm going to need Alan Liminsky to get in here soon because he's got even more energy than I did around this. I'm a better reader maybe, but he's a better, come on, you got to do it. So I'm now going to read you from my next book called Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. I wrote this book because, as you can imagine, when Katrina happened, I was heartbroken, as were you. I mean, this was a city of 650,000 people, less than a million, but about 250,000 of whose members were lost in the hurricane and never came back. This was an almost a two-thirds black city. It was a city that was a central cultural center for black people. And it wasn't just that the hurricane came, that black people were driven away. The tragedy today is that they never came back. They're in Houston. They're in Philadelphia. They're sitting with their mama. We don't know where they are. But if the system wanted to drive black people out of New Orleans, it succeeded. So my book, Katrina's Legacy, goes into a lot about, obviously, Katrina and then the issue of racism. But somebody said very nicely that the first 75 pages of the book are one of the very finest condensations of black history they've ever read. Because I started this story by saying, history shall guide us. You can't understand, Katrina doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of a whole history of the white backlash against the black revolution. So I'm going to read you just a few pages of a section on page 24 called The First Reconstruction, Program for Emancipation. And I'm in the studio now with Alan Minsky, who's my partner and who we're going to raise a lot of money for KPFK. In fact, Alan, before I read, since I have been talking to people about the fund drive, maybe you could, I've already talked to them about Playbook. We're going to read from Dispatches from Durban, The Seven Components of Transformative Organizing Theory, and I'm about to read from Katrina's Legacy. But why don't you help the folks give us some money?
Yeah, well, the number to call is 818-985-5735. And there are people who are in the phone room that we can see right across two sets of glass from here over in old Studio A. We're in Studio B, which is the live studio at KPFK. This is an emergency fund drive. KPFK has fallen into a significant fiscal crisis. We're going to be joined later in the hour by General Manager Zuberi Fields, who's going to join Eric and myself. We really need your support right now. What Eric is reading to you right now is serious analysis of American society, a serious analysis rooted in a deep understanding of history. You simply do not hear this elsewhere in broadcast media, anything like it, in Southern California. Now, while politics have not gravitated even in Southern California over to where this kind of revolutionary impulse is widespread, there's not a mass revolutionary movement here in Southern California. What is true about Southern California is this metropolitan area has shifted in its political perspective dramatically over recent decades, and KPFK is as important as any institution in informing that and continuing to inform Southern California moving from the seat of Reaganism into a progressive metropolitan area where issues of social justice can move front and center. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Eric. There was just breaking news, pretty significant and dramatic breaking news in the United States from South Carolina earlier today. A black man was killed basically assassinated by a white police officer. And in the course of just this day, that police officer has been charged with murder. Now, images of the murder were captured. And I venture to say that that would not be taking place if not for the struggle that really came to the fore in Ferguson, but was there before with Trayvon Martin. Of course, that's also in the South in Florida. And KPFK has brought that struggle front and center in Southern California. And without KPFK, political discourse in Southern California will become so impoverished. So reflect on that over the course of the hour. We're going to now hear what sounds like an amazing section of the book Katrina's Legacy, which people can pick up as a thank you gift for a $100 pledge, all of Eric's books together. But you can do it another way, folks. We're really encouraging people now to become KPFK sustainers in this emergency fund drive. And if you say, I'm going to give $10 a month to KPFK as a KPFK sustainer, that will qualify you for the thank you gifts as well. So say, yes, I want to get four book collection by Eric Mann for a $100 pledge of support. But do it as a KPFK sustainer, $10 a month, and you'll also get the thank you gifts. This is KPFK's emergency fund drive. We have to make sure we keep this institution alive. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Eric.
And one thing I want to thank Alan, you know, I mean, we do love this station. You have to understand that I come in every Tuesday. I really love KPFK, you know, and KPFA and Pacifica. We just don't get what we have. And this station is not just worth sustaining, but it's worth increasing. So $10 a month, $20 a month. Think about it. The station would have a guaranteed income source, which is one of the things that the Sustainer program, and my wife Leanne and I would definitely sign up for the Sustainer program because it's a good way. It comes off your credit card or you can send the check. But it means that when they're trying to figure out their budget, just like you are, more and more of the budget should come through the Sustainer program. So I'm going to read you from somebody who we all know. He's on Sonali's show a lot, on ours. Glenn Ford wrote a very nice thing about my book on Katrina's legacy. He says, it places the Gulf catastrophe in the historical context of racist capitalist rule in the U.S. at a critical time when the cracks in the ruling class levies are visible for all to see. Mann provides political leadership, the outlines of a plan for action, and calls us to our battle stations. What a generous thing from Glenn. And this is trying to bring you to your battle stations, but it's important that I focus a lot on history. I never take a story that happened, whether it's the murder in South Carolina. It all goes back to Reconstruction and slavery and the fight. So let me just read you a little bit. In 1865, less than 150 years ago, when black people in the South won legal freedom from slavery, millions of black women and men were thrust onto the historical stage. A black political class emerged, able to create an alliance of black freed men and women, some southern poor whites and workers, northern abolitionists, and radical Republicans. This united front coalition drafted a program to consolidate the victory over the rebellious and racist South and passed some of the most progressive legislation and social policies in U.S. history. This plan was based on the material power of more than 400,000 armed blacks who had rebelled against slavery and fought with the North in the Civil War, backed by 4 million more potentially armed blacks. Imagine a period in which more than 4 million black women and men, after three centuries of slavery, are instantly freed. They enter the post-Civil War world with little history of training in politics, no history of even the relative freedom within oppression of a colonized people in Africa, no permitted relationships with whites except an always terrorized set of adaptations and charades as tactics of self-defense. A progressive, revolutionary black political class and multi-class mass movement emerged based on the small but influential strata of free blacks who had owned property and learned the skills of bourgeois society, combined with the massive power of the former slaves. Imagine what a revolution it was to have former slaves, women and men, leading a political movement after centuries of being denied their families, their right to read or speak their mind, the right to travel outside of the plantation. Their limited history of common activity was restricted by the yoke of bondage to field slave slowdowns and sabotage, the miracle of the Underground Railroad, and the galvanizing, brave, brief slave rebellions that were passed on as folklore by word of mouth as the ultimate model of hope. This consciousness, leadership, and organization was geometrically expanded in a period of a few short years, 1860 to 1865, in which black slaves rose up against their overextended masters, fled the plantations, enlisted in the Union Army, and were given freedom, training, and most importantly, guns. What made Reconstruction so revolutionary was that it called for a true bourgeois democratic revolution to grant the slaves full equality, to grant workers of all races the right to organize and make demands on government and their employers, and to militarily restrict and suppress the former planter class in the South, which was intent upon a counter-revolution. 818-985-5735, that's even in my book. Among these forces who could form a united front for Reconstruction were the masses of the black multi-class nation of the South, just freed from bondage, free blacks in the North, Southern white workers, Northern white workers, and the Northern white middle and upper class progressives represented by the radical Republicans. But from the beginning, the Reconstruction movement faced powerful enemies. First, its temporary ally, the growing monopoly capitalist imperialist class in the North, entering its robber baron phase, had little interest in freeing the slaves or granting a multiracial working class democracy. Rather, it saw its main enemy as the feudal capitalist class in the South. It was willing to make temporary alliances to consolidate its victory in the war. From the outset, there were conservative forces in the North who anticipated reuniting with the plantocracy, who shared a white supremacist hatred of the blacks, and who simply wanted to make sure that the new alliance of white and rich was under Northern control. Thus, in order to succeed, the Reconstruction movement had to somehow maintain the support of Northern monopoly capitalism for democratic rights for blacks, as it also struggled for full democracy against the interests of the corporate class North and South, a very difficult tactical plan. So this lays out a lot of my theories of the United Front. For a lot of you who are listening, I know you think this is right and this is wrong, but I don't focus on what's right and wrong. I focus on what's called strategy. Strategy is based on an assessment of forces. Strategy means you have to figure out who is your enemy first. And then after you've established your enemy, who is in contradiction to that enemy? Some people have very small contradictions to it, just minor ones. But you'll use them, as Lenin said, even for a split second as an ally. But then who's your main force? And the main force inside the United States today, in my opinion, is the black nation, which is why it is on such tremendous attack. So if you look at my three books, my four books, what do they have in common? Seven Components of Transformative Organizing Theory focuses a lot on the black and Vietnamese alliance. Katrina's Legacy is a whole history of the black struggle in the South. And Dispatches from Durban is a big history about the black struggle in South Africa and the role of reparations. And finally, my book, Playbook for Progressives, is saying if you've read these three books, what are you going to do about it? You need a book to teach you how to organize. So that's what I have to offer. And Alan, why don't you tell them the relationship between what I have to offer and what we need them to do?
Well, what we need right now is people to call 818-985-5735. And what's important about this fund drive is it is an emergency fund drive. We're asking people to consider Southern California Media without KPFK, recognize how important this institution is to keep it alive. KPFK has fallen into a fiscal crisis. There are a lot of reasons for that. And we need to sort of get a little influx of cash right now to make sure that this radio station keeps going on. And so we're asking you to call in at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And we have these three books, which are really four books, for a $100 pledge of support. Now, we are happy to have you pledge at whatever level you can. We are featuring something called the KPFK Sustainers Program, which we have introduced today to our listeners, as a idea that if you call in and pledge at the $10 level to be a sustainer, $10 will be deducted or taken off via credit card or debit card from, you'll be charged $10 a month, and it'll be $120 a year, which, by the way, qualifies you to get these fantastic books as your thank you gift. Or you could do it at the $20 a month level, be a sustainer. That's $240 a year, but it continues past 12 months. So you'll be a continuing supporter of KPFK Radio. We're confident that we're turning a corner here, and that with this fund drive, we're going to set this ship straight. We're going to keep it afloat, and we're going to keep KPFK on the air airwaves here in Southern California. But the crisis is quite real. The general manager will be in here in a little while to explain the depths of the fiscal crisis. But 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Quite frankly, we've been making most of our money off of on-air fund drives. The sustainer program is one instrument we have to try to eliminate how many times we have to interrupt our programmer. So we're offering our listeners an opportunity to participate in a strategy to have less fund drives, to keep a flow of money coming in consistently to KPFK. That way we can know what is coming in and what our budget really looks like and keep this ship afloat. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Now, back to Eric's work, the final point Eric made about the most recent book he's written is so important. I mean, we look out at American society. We see tremendous injustice. We see tremendous inequality. We see a society that is not working for the welfare of the majority of the population. Well, what do we do about it? And quite frankly, we live in a very complex society. The rate of social, cultural, economic change in all of our lifetimes has been very rapid. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have these powerful computers in our pockets. 100 years ago, we didn't have airplanes, right? And so much has changed since the Industrial Revolution, and now in the Information Age Technological Revolution, the rate of change continues apace. So it's a very dynamic and complex society. How do we create change? How do we go up against the behemoth that is the entire elaborate American social system, which is organized for the benefit of the few versus the many, and make change? And that is really where we get to Playbook for Progressives, because this is a really an important book for people who want to see social change happen in their lifetime, to learn about this, what's with the wisdom that's in this book, in order to be able to move forward successfully.
So I want to talk to you about Playbook, but I also want to talk to you more about the Sustainer Program. I'll give you an example. We give, I'll say, at least $30 a month to Doctors Without Borders. Every time that bill comes in, I'm happy to see it. I actually, when I get my bill, and, oh, crap, I shouldn't have bought that, and, oh my God, why did I do that? And then when Doctors Without Borders comes, I say, well, that was the best $30 I spent. And if you think about it, if you put it on a credit card, and I mean that, and you're trying to cut down your expenses, when you see $25 or $30 or $40 a month or $10 a month coming to KPFK, it'll probably be the best use of your money that you used for the whole month. And it'll almost reinforce that, why am I consuming a lot of stuff that I don't really need? And maybe if I spent this much on a shirt or this much on a pair of pants, this much on some CDs, and only this much on KPFK, maybe I'll up the sustainer. Because I think what KPFK needs is for us to grasp that this really is the only institution we have that's ours. And it's not theirs. You see, it's ours. When we say listener, sponsor, blah, 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 it sounds good. It really is true. Without you, the station doesn't exist. Secondly, the station has to move in a way to reduce these fund drives. We all know it. But as an organizer, you just can't keep complaining about it. The way to have more sustained program, and even if we have fund drives, to have them as we are here with a lot more program during the fund drives, is for each of us to make a commitment to say that we are going to build this station. We're not simply going to send money in for the fund drive, but we're going to build KPFK as our station. So over time, when Zubri and Alan and others are trying to figure out the annual budget, maybe it's first 8% of the budget is sustained, it's 10%, 12%. But over time, we'd like 50% at least of the budget to be from sustainers. And that means that you open up the year with guaranteed money. You don't open up the year. I run an organization. You don't run and open up the year in a cash flow crisis. I'm very lucky. I run a nonprofit. I have some people that give money. And especially what I like is they give money January 1st. So when I open up the doors January 1st, that money is in the bank, and I'm not starting to figure out what the heck am I going to do. I'd like for this organization to be able to say on January 1st, on February 1st, on March 1st, just like clockwork, the money comes in. That is part of being a successful organizer, is having a successful radio station. We have the Strategy Center. That's a gift to the movement. We have my book, Playbook. It's a gift to the movement. But we also have KPFK, which is an amazing gift to the movement. Think about Rhapsody in Black. Think about Ian Master Show. Think about all those of you who don't like Ian Master Show and how much it gives you to talk about. Think about the people that think I should be more animated and think I'm too understated. Think about all the people that have criticisms of me. What would you do without us? Who would you criticize? You'd have nobody to criticize. So we offer psychic benefit for you. You can all debate us. You can all judge us. But give us the damn money, folks. 818-985-5735. We love you. You love us. We'd like to have Alan be able to come back in the next 15 minutes and say it's working. Think about the Sustainer program. I'm going to now read you something from Dispatches from Durban, which is another book that I really like. Of course, I wrote it. And this is cool. This was written on September 19th, 2001 in Durban, South Africa. And I did send it over as an email to my wife, Leanne, who somehow typed it up, who somehow in the early stages of my technical consciousness put it up on the web, and we got it out through email. And back then, we even got more email response with a lower number of people because the emails were newer. And I remember writing this one night in Durban. The next day, I show up, I'm back in Durban, and people said, oh my God, I read your article last night. What an amazing feeling. Okay, so this is called From the Streets of Alexandria, South Africa, Where is Lenin Now That We Need Him? The African organizer walks around the community with enormous moral authority. He walks through streets where thousands of youth seem to be standing idle, and almost as many greet him by name. He takes us to the local chamber of commerce, a small office with a few computers, where he embraces the local leadership and they him. This is the township of Alexandria, one of the poorest and most historically militant townships in Greater Johannesburg. He is the local chairperson of the South African Communist Party, SACP. And while he has a formal name he was given at birth, everyone simply calls him Lenin. It's the nom de guerre he took when he was forced into exile, where he continued the struggle against the apartheid regime for many years. The brutal poverty, the legacy of apartheid, is starkly present. The dominant form of township housing is still the shanty. Small homes, one connected to another, often no more than a large or sometimes small room. Walls of cinder blocks and bricks, tin roofs of corrugated metal and cement floors are the prevailing architecture. And yet, some have observed, these are still better than in other townships where the housing is even less substantial. In terms of commerce, much of Alexandria looks like the permanently depressed areas of South Central Los Angeles with which I'm familiar. The only industries I'm able to observe are poorly stocked small convenience stores, nail parlors, and hair salons, establishments with names like the Chicago Hair Salon and Shoe Repair, with little more than a roof and a few chairs, advertise the latest styles of perms, the Hollywood, the Black Like Me, Special Feeling, and Dark and Lovely. In the midst of Alexandria's 400,000 black residents, most of whom are living in unbearable poverty, is the direct organizing, the direct interventions of the Communist Party in general, and Lenin in particular, that seem to offer a ray of hope. The local SACP branch, according to Lenin, has an 11-member executive committee and perhaps a few hundred members. At first glance, these are relatively small numbers, but as always, the discipline of a communist organization with close ties to the masses can geometrically expand that influence. 818-985-5735. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, streaming live on the web, kpfk.org, and on my website, voicesfromthefrontlines.com, and my email, eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. 818-985-5735, $100 will get you 4 of my books, and $10 a month in the Sustainer program or more will also get you 4 of my books. As we walk through the recently paved roads of Alexandria, an infrastructure improvement of the ANC government, and past the rows of shanties, we enter a modern two-story brick building with a large inner courtyard. It looks like the housing projects remember in the South Bronx in the early 1960s, when they were new and clean and before the government refused to maintain them and then blamed the tenants for their disrepair. First, we enter the small offices of the Alexandria branch of the SACP, where a delegation of movement organizations from the U.S. is paying a visit. On the blackboard in carefully printed chalk letters are notes from a recent political education question class on the land question. Now, this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. We're asking you to contribute 818-985-5735 to KPFK. Please contribute $100 for these four books. And here's some interesting stuff. This is the classes now that the South African Communist Party in 2001 is teaching to black South Africans. Apartheid is a system of capitalist exploitation based on a colonial and racist forms of domination. Addressing this issue must be related to a challenge of building the future society. Marxism's essential thesis is the political emergence of an alternative society. In this context, Marxism offers hope in that it confronts economic, political, and spiritual poverty as a temporary condition that can be transformed through political struggle. Alexander Lenin improvises from V.I. Lenin's what is to be done. This is Alexander Lenin. The communists have aspirations for everyone. In an African national liberation struggle in particular, that means reaching out to all classes and all segments of society. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. It's 440. We're trying to raise a couple of $1,000. Please call in. For $100, you can get this book, Dispatches from Durban, as well as my book, Playbook for Progressives, my other book, Katrina's Legacy, and my other book, The Seven Components of Transformative Organizing Theory. Lenin accompanies us to the local radio station, of which the residents are very proud. We walk into the modest but functional offices of ALXFM, Alexandra Community Radio. Hey, guess what? They have a community radio station in Alexandria, and I'm now in Los Angeles reading you an essay about South Africa, in which they have a community radio station, and we're trying to get your money to help us keep open our community radio station. So I'm going to, Zubery Fields just came in with us. I'm just going to finish a little bit more. So this is now in South Africa. Their station is called The Station That Empowers You, with a signal radius of 50 kilometers, approximately 30 miles. The blackboard lists the day's program, The Breakfast Show, Gospel, Soul Train, Local Top 20, Young, Black, and Talented. So, parenthesis, the Communist Party knows how to run a popular radio show on a community station. The young black woman, the local resident, shows up for her volunteer work. She explains, "The NGOs are struggling to get funds, so I'm working to gain experience. Someday I hope to get a stipend, but for now I volunteer to get business empowerment." Her favorite program, The Breakfast Show, where the Communist Party helps to analyze the local, national, and international news. Lenin explains, "If there's a crisis about water or education or with the gangs, we're always on the radio keeping the people informed." Lenin agonizes about the crisis of crime in the current period. So I'm going to bring Zubri in for a minute, but I want to say something interesting that I didn't even realize until I picked this up. So here I am writing about a wonderful experience I had in Alexandria, South Africa, after the defeat of apartheid. I'm about to tell you about, you know, where is Lenin now that we need him, which is a black communist organizer. And I open up my book, and what's he talking about? A community radio station.
All right.
So, Zoo, is that a good intro?
That is a good intro, because that's what we are here at this moment in this drive, is to preserve, and not only preserve, but reinvigorate KPFK, because it is worth not just supporting, but joining us on a journey to become a strong and a thriving progressive radio station. I do want to take a moment and thank all the wonderful listeners, donors, and members, those that have supported KPFK. I talked to quite a few of you today. I've been in the phone room. I've been taking calls in my office. I've been writing letters to plenty of folks that had some concerns as well. Today has been a humbling, one of the most humbling experiences I've had here at KPFK. I was very nervous when I woke up and was hopping in the shower, getting ready to come to work, not knowing if we would hear from you. And many of you may not have even pledged to KPFK. This is your moment to support a station. Become a sustainer. You know, many of us pay for a gym membership, $20, $30 a month, and don't go to the gym. But there are many of us that tune into KPFK on the daily, and this is your chance to put your $20 or $30 to work and sustain this station. Not just sustain, but give us the opportunity to thrive. For too long, KPFK has been in and out of fund drives. We want to end that. We want to preserve, we want to be able to continue to bring the programming that you do love. Now, Eric Mann is offering a collection of books. gratis, in-kind donation to the station, so the station doesn't have to pay for these books. We're going to go ahead and send them to you at our earliest convenience for a pledge of $100. But Eric, I want to ask you a question. I think the listeners may want to know, what is it that brought you here to the station, and the time that you donate to the station and providing the content that you do on a weekly basis?
Well, I mean, I appreciate Zuri, and I'll tell you that. I mean, the first thing is I'm a revolutionary and I'm a strategist, so I have to figure out why is this worth, and it is almost a day of my time. So one thing you need to know is I don't just bop in here, folks. I actually have to prepare. It's a job. I actually have to know what I'm talking about. I might have to read a book. If I have somebody who's on the show, duh, you better read that book before you come. I read the news. We have a producer, Crystal McMillan. We spend a couple of days before. What's the show going to be about? We think about the show. We think of then we go to the phones. And I want to say, when I go to the phones, you guys are great. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, if I may. Of course I'm honest. Some of these callers, they're not so great. They're kind of weird. They got things they want to say, but they don't really. Our listeners, darn it, they're great listeners. They're on the money. They're overwhelmingly Black and Latino and working class and people that are involved in direct struggles. When we go to the phones, I am thrilled at who's on the other end. I really am. It makes me, I go to the phones a lot because it gives me some sense of who's out there. But we got to take this show more seriously, and we got to show the station more seriously. There's still a gap in the consumer mentality. We love the station, but we don't grasp it as an economic unit that we're responsible to build. So because I think the show is so important, I call it our national movement building show. And the interim program director, Alan Minsky, and I have been interim together for over 10 years. And he has been a phenomenal supporter of mine. Really gives me energy and interest. I mean, so you have to understand, there's a real producer here. There's a real general manager here who they wake up in the morning trying to make this station succeed. But I don't think, Zub, that if this was a right-wing station, we wouldn't have this problem. If this was a right-wing station, they understand the importance of their stations. And I think we got to figure out, what is it about the people on the left, if I may say that, of a culture of entitlement, or a culture of not taking it seriously enough? Because some of you out there, the right-wing stations have million-dollar donors. We don't have million-dollar donors, but we need you to give us $100 we're asking for there, $120, $500. What are we going to do?
I don't think we've positioned ourselves to receive $1 million. I've had a couple of conversations the other day, and you know, and I do realize, and I've said in these conversations, you know what, if I was a millionaire and I wanted to give $1 million to KPFK, I want to know how that $1 million is going to be used, right, and utilized. What impact is my dollar going to do? And since I've began to manage this station, I want to connect those dots. We are on a path of becoming more transparent. Hopefully within the next few months, we will start posting our financial reports on a quarterly basis and making it available to the public on our webpage. Also, I've been working with the team here, both paid and volunteers, and developing a business strategy for this nonprofit, because I believe this station has been lacking a vision, or this vision hasn't been unearthed yet and embraced to take us in a direction in providing news coverage KPFK style. In 2009. Due to economic circumstances, we laid off most of our news department. I intend to bring that back because of the response we've gotten from the survey is that at the top of people's list is news. And at the very least, I'm looking to establish $150,000 in our budget annually to have a news team to produce an hour of news each day, Monday through Friday, and have top of the hours as well.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that's, you know, why should people give money to Pacifica? What's $1 million could go for? Well, you talk about a national movement building show. Think about the United States of America right now. Think about where the possibility of significant society transforming social and political change happening. Is there a movement for it now? Does there need to be? Absolutely. What other media outlet or network is going to provide a national movement-building show? And how important would it be if such a thing was in the markets across the country? There could be harmony among the various movements across the country to create social change and transform the society. Pacifica Radio can be a part of something like that, but it does take money. I came in as the interim program director right after the news department was cut down, and certainly rebuilding the news department is another thing where if we had $1 million, the local news would be so important for KPFK to rebuild.
818-985-5735. I mean, I appreciate the more transparent, introspective nature of this fund drive, because another example of what the station could do more, and we want to, and this is our niche at The Voices, is my very dear friend Danny Schechter just died. He was called Danny Schechter, the news dissector. And I think I said on the radio station when I did the tribute to him in Counterpunch magazine that they took over an FM station called WBCN in Boston way back in the day. And a very famous DJ named Charles Lacudero was a very charismatic host. We were able on that show, like right in the middle of Charles Lacudero playing, I don't know, the Jefferson Airplane, he said, wait. The police have just arrived in front of Dougie Miranda's house, the Black Panther. That's on 173 Dawson Street. Drop everything and go over right now to the house. And people did. The radio had the ability to convey not just news of other people's lives, but to say right now, the Migra has attacked a workplace right downtown. Or L.A. Can, the Brother Africa was just killed by a policeman. I think besides news that's, you know, from 5 to 6, is to bring news more into the daily programming so when things happen, people call KPFK and say, hey, I need your help. Mm-hmm. So that's some work that I'm trying to think about, how we could make voices right. more for people to feel like this is the station you call and this is the station you wait for, because they're going to tell you what's happening in the street right this minute.
Yeah, we're planning on bringing our Twitter feed into the board ops so that our news department that is assisting as it can deliver breaking news. And, of course, Twitter is a communicative medium, so people can also tweet at KPFK with breaking news.
Absolutely. What you can do right now, those of you that are in your cars, you know, pull over to the side so
Please.
You don't get a ticket, or if you got the Bluetooth and you have your credit or debit card memorized, call KPFK right now. Because right now we've been in a deficit for 4 years. I've said to the team here, staff and programmers, that we have got to end this cycle. We can no longer keep running on a deficit. It is not sustainable. But we just don't want to get bailed out. We want you to, one, help us take care of our outstanding bills, but join us on a journey. And this is what I agreed to, myself and the team agreed to do. We're going to continue to make improvements here, make it more convenient for you to donate. At this moment, you can call 818-985-5735, become a sustainer at any level. But if you want to say, I love KPFK, I want to throw in for KPFK, make a straight up donation at any amount. We would love that $1 million amount. We would love that $1,000 amount. We would love that $100 amount. And we would love that $10 amount. And if you got a dollar in your pocket, you can send it to KPFK at 3729 Cahuenga Boulevard in North Hollywood. KPFK cannot exist without its listeners. It was founded upon the belief that a listener should support a public radio rather than having corporations or business interests dictate our journalistic rights.
We're at $1,500 right now. We want to get this up past $2,000. We need $500 in the next 5 minutes at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. People call in, become KPFK sustainers. You can do the $10 a month, $20 a month. I mean, I think Zoo mentioned is the gym membership. Compare it to your cable bill. I mean, my word, there's almost nothing that comes in at under $100 on a cable or DirecTV bill these days. So, you know, there's no taxes added on for your $20 a month or $10 a month or $30 a month pledge to be a KPFK sustainer. So call in. Remember, anytime you get past what adds up to $100 a year, you can pick up Eric's books. Incredible trilogy that's actually four books, and because the Playbook for Progressive comes with an extra addendum. That's a separate tome. So four books for a $100 pledge is a thank you gift. Call in, pledge whatever you can. If you only want to pledge $50 and not be a sustainer, get a KPFK t-shirt. They're beautiful, by the way, folks. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're at $1,500. We want to get at least to $2,000 this hour and become a KPFK sustainer. That's what we're rolling out on this emergency fund drive. We are in a fiscal crisis, and we have to meet those ends. And again, Zuberry has really devised strategies to dig our way out of this. And the first thing we're introducing on a listener pledge is the Sustainers Program. Eric has explained its utility for us. 818-985-5735. $10 a month. Become a KBFK sustainer, or the $20 level. 15 maybe, 30, whatever you can per month. Keep KPFK afloat.
And in terms of something I said about me, but more importantly about the book, and why you should give to KPFK, Rodolfo Acuna, the author of Occupied America, said, Eric Mann is a bridge builder, a gifted organizer who unites blacks, Latinos, Asians, and whites in the fight for social justice and change. Playbook for progressives is the rules for radicals for the 21st century. And I would say that the difference between my book and Rules for Radicals is that Saul Alinsky mainly focuses on self-interested activity, and I'm interested in what's called transformative organizing, where people not simply want a better stop sign or a better job, but they really are going to willing to fight and die for a better society. And in that context, these four books for $100 allow you, I think, to have a good time reading. And for us, we really need that money. It would be very cool. I mean, I'm, you know, sometimes we're on the station now and I'm talking into the air. You don't know who's on the other side. But if there's $1,500 out there, I know there's $500 out there. So, folks, we need – this would be very cool. We've done it before. The last 5 minutes, the board, I come in there and the people on the board are going, they're still calling, they're still calling. So you can get it at 501. But come on, 818-985-5735. It would be very cool if Voices from the Front Lines ended up with $2,000 and you end up with four books for $100.
We got about an hour left for everyone that calls in and makes a contribution to KPFK to be entered into the Fleetwood Mac – to win the Fleetwood Mac tickets. The tickets are sold out for this Friday. We got a pair waiting for one lucky donor that has said, you know what, I'm going to throw them in with KPFK. Yes, we are in a financial crisis, but I look at it this. This financial crisis has not come to stay. It has come to pass and presented us the opportunity to strengthen KPFK. It has slapped us in the face and said, we need to change the way that we do our day-to-day business. We need to change the way that we serve our listeners. I look forward to a year from now saying, have we, asking you if we have exceeded your expectations in changing and reducing the fund drive days, bringing back a news department. We can't do this without you. We don't want to have to go to the Fox televisions or the Tides and a whole list of other companies that I shouldn't say over these airwaves, because we don't need to give them credit. I want to give you, the donor, the listener, the credit, and know that you have supported this station.
818-985-5735. Become a KPFK sustainer at whatever level you can pledge. If you pledge at the $10 a month, you can pick up the thank you gifts, the four books that have been donated by Eric Mann and the Labor Community Strategy Center to KPFK. They're in-house. They're waiting to be sent out. Call in and pledge. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. The books, Katrina's Legacy, Dispatches from Durban, Playbook for Progressives, and the fourth secret extra track is The Seven Components of Transformative Organizing Theory by Eric Mann.
And Fleetwood Mac just called and said they'd rather have the books than the tickets. So it's very cool. They can have both. I want to thank our Voices listeners in particular. This is your show, your hour. You've always been great around the fund drive. So you're giving to KPFK, but you're also giving to support your own show and your own station. So as we always say, it may get old, but it's always great. All power to the people. KPFK 90.7 FM. Let's give some more money. 818-985-5735. We will see you next week at Tuesday at 4 o'clock. It's been fun. Come get my books. I'd love to sign them for you. Zuberry, thanks a lot. I'm encouraged by your leadership, and I mean that, and the way you're talking. It is a new way of talking, and I like how you're talking.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone out there that supported the station today, yesterday, and for the many, many years KPFK has been around, almost 56.
Thank you.